Hi, welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast for February 17th, 2012. My name is Beth Belo, and I'm founder of the Introvert Entrepreneur. The Introvert Entrepreneur is a personal and professional development company dedicated to providing services to introverts and those who live, work, and play with them. Our goal is to create empowered, productive environments where introverts can flourish. The key to that is understanding and appreciating what it means to be an innie in an outie world. Professional services are designed for entrepreneurs, corporations and organizations, and individuals who want to focus on their personal development. You can learn more at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. If there's one complaint I hear over and over again, it's about how we all have so much to do and so little time to do it. It seems as though all of us are in a constant state of overwhelm. As introverts, we know that our energy is our most precious asset. Our productivity and even our happiness suffers when we don't monitor and take care of our energy. We have to be intentional about how we spend it and when it's best to save it. Knowing how to do that is not always easy when we're being pulled in a million different directions and when we're living in a predominantly extroverted society. Each of us has 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, and 365 days in a year. Although this year I believe it's 366 since we're a leap year. But regardless of that extra day, why is it that some people seem to get so much done while others get bogged down or overwhelmed or further behind with each passing day? It is possible to focus your energy in such a way that you are more productive without feeling burned out. I love this quote from Bruce Lee. He offers us one approach. He says, "Absorb what is useful, reject what is useless, add what is specifically your own." Today's podcast guest offers another approach that's similar to that advice, but uniquely hers. She calls it cutting the crap, and her intention is to give you tools that allow you to get more done in less time. Pam Weatherford has been speaking to and training groups of all sizes for the past 10 years in the banking and family entertainment industries. In 2011, she launched her own company, D3 Seminars. She's an introvert who specializes in the areas of customer service, productivity, diversity, and healthy living. Hi, Pam. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me. This is great.
I want to cut to the chase because one of the things that raised my curiosity about you is that you talk about cutting the crap. And that's not a phrase we hear a whole lot when it comes to, just right out there in the business world. So it seems like I know that expression is coordinated with how we get things done or not done.
Yeah. Yes, and I'm kind of a bottom line person myself, and I found that just labeling my seminar "Cut the Crap" gets a lot of attention. So I'm glad I got your attention. Thank you.
Well, it seems like we're part of what your message is that we're all trying to get more done in less time, and what I find is that we're also trying to get it done with fewer resources. And so, what do you see that gets in the way? You know, what's the crap that gets in our way, basically, of being really efficient?
Well, I think what happens with entrepreneurs, and as you know, we're somewhat of a different breed. We tend to be ambitious, and we're risk takers, and we're go-getters. And I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs who think that they need to do everything themselves. And so I think sometimes it's an issue of learning how to say no, and sometimes it's an issue of learning how to delegate. And so when I go through my Cut the Crap seminar, it's actually a process. I teach them to think about what they need to do to become more efficient. And so the C stands for complete it, the R stands for refuse it, the A stands for assign it, and the P stands for pitch it. So again, it just helps you think through, okay, these are the things on my to-do list, but is it something I need to complete, say no to, delegate, or just throw it away? And it's not about trying to do more, it's about trying to do the things that are going to move us forward and not getting bogged down with every little thing that comes our way.
I appreciate that distinction about it's not always about doing more, because sometimes I think that's where we get hung up. We think, well, I've got to do more, more, more.
You know, maybe it's because I'm over 40 now, but I want to do less, 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 and make more, more, more.
Exactly. I'm with you.
This formula helps me do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we just finished up a virtual introvert conference, and which I think you knew about. And one of the speakers, when we were talking about setting boundaries, that often we're told, like, you know, do 10% more each day, or see how you can add 10% to what you're doing. And she said, what if we took away 10%?
You know, what if we did 10% less?
I like that theory a lot, because at some point you're going to be up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to get everything done. And the math, I'm not very good at math, but it just doesn't seem to work for me. And as entrepreneurs, and especially I talk to a lot of women, and they in particular have a hard time saying no. We're so conditioned as women to take care of our spouses, our children, work, and we really do believe that we can bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan and we can do everything. And setting those boundaries and really getting focused on where we need to spend our time really can help us cut the crap and just get more done and be free to do the things that we want to do.
And to go back to something you said towards the beginning of that answer about how we don't always know how to say no and that we think we have to do everything ourselves. That really resonates for me, and I'm guessing it resonates for a lot of people listening, because I find myself often, if somebody says, well, who did this for you? Who did that? And I'm like, oh, I did it.
and feel good.
It does. It's like a little bit like, oh yeah, I did that, you know, and it's also signaling that, you know, over time, there's probably some things that we need to learn how to let go and delegate.
Right. I think part of that also comes from just knowing more about yourself and knowing your strengths and your limitations. And for me, I'm not only an entrepreneur, but I'm a solopreneur. And so I had to look when I started this company at what are the things that I really want to do and I'm really great at, and then what are the things that I just have no interest in or have no skill set in. So the first thing I did was I hired a friend of mine to do my bookkeeping. And I'm smart enough that I probably could go and figure out QuickBooks and I could learn how to do it, but it's like pulling teeth and I hate it. And so the little bit of money and time that I spend with her to get her to do it is so worth it. I don't even really have to think about it anymore. And the second thing that I delegated is graphics design. And if I need to do a simple flyer or something, I can do that. But if I really want something to look professional and amazing, I have a gal that does that for me. And again, for the amount of money that I spend, it's just so worth it. And I love being able to tell people. People ask me all the time, who does your flyers? They look so great. Oh, I've got this gal out in California. I've never even met her before. We've only talked on the phone. I just kind of give her ideas. She sends me an email back and it's done. And I think especially for solopreneurs, you may think of yourself as just being on this island and you've got to do it all, but look at those resources that you have around you and other people that can take those things and they love to do it and they're better at it than you anyway. Let them do it.
I think that's part of what would lead to our sustainability as a business owner, because the more we're sharing the load and really playing to our strengths, the longer we'll be able to keep going, because being an entrepreneur is, and a solopreneur particularly, is hard work.
Exactly. And one of the principles that I teach, and I didn't make it up, I'm stealing it, but is the 80-20 rule. And you really need to look at where can I put 20% of my effort to get 80% of the results. And I think too, sometimes for introverts, and depending on what type of business you're in, for me that can be challenging, because as an introvert, I love to sit at my computer and write new classes. I go and research things, and I love to do PowerPoint, and I can be creative, and I can be by myself, and I can get lost in doing that. And I had to come to the realization that if that's all I do, then how am I ever going to get hired to actually do training classes? And so I have to spend some time doing marketing and networking and those extroverted things that sometimes drain my energy. And so that's kind of a balance as well. I can't get stuck in just doing the fun introverted things. I've got to go out and be an extrovert sometimes too.
Exactly. And that's why it seems like this topic is so important for introverts to be hearing about, because I suspect, I found that myself, and I can find that I'm working on my business more than I'm working in it. So I can get it kind of sucked into the solitary fun activities and not actually be out and doing more of that service delivery. So like you said, designing the training as opposed to delivering the training.
Exactly. And for me, and I know everyone's different, but there are times that I will arrange my schedule to where maybe I've got a whole day of meetings. And so I just know that I've got to be on my game that day. I build up for that mentally, and I can do it. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I come home and I'm a little bit exhausted. And then other times, if things have to be spread out more throughout the week, then I won't plan four or five things for 3 or 4 days in a row. That that make me get out and meet people. I'll plan maybe a lunch and maybe another networking event. And then the rest of the time I can come home and do the computer work and create new classes. And so you have to kind of create that balance so that it works for you in your life.
Well, and I know from talking with other entrepreneurs and professional that feeling overwhelmed is a really big issue, and juggling all of that and finding that balance. And it seems like even just saying, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm overwhelmed. I'm, you know, super busy. I'm still trying to play catch up. It seems like it's almost a knee-jerk response to where it's a constant state of being. And, you know, what do you think is really going on there?
You know, I think sometimes we start to look at the elephant and we start wondering how in the world we're going to eat him. And if we start to prioritize and focus on taking one bite at a time, it becomes a lot more manageable. And as I mentioned before, to do that, we really need to figure out what are the things that are really going to move our business forward. What's the highest and best use of my time? And then do those things. And don't get caught up in all the little things that come your way. And I think it's also really helpful to have a mentor or a coach who can help us when we get stuck in the weeds. And for me, I have two solutions there. When I just want to brainstorm about business questions and the direction that I should head, I've got a couple of girlfriends that also are business owners, and we plan a yogurt date. And, you know, it's like guys go out and get on the golf course. We go to the yogurt store, and we get more accomplished over a cup of yogurt. We have a lot of fun, and they can just see things that I can't see. And no matter how great you are as a business person, you just can't see your business yourself. Someone else looking at it from the outside can give you a whole lot more perspective. And then I also have my husband, who's the exact opposite personality type as I am. And so when I get really analytical and things just, I can't even see clearly what I need to do, I will finally go and talk to him, and it's like he snaps his fingers, and in 2 seconds, he's got the solution. And it's something I never even could have comprehended. And it just lifts 10,000 pounds off my shoulders. So I think it's important to have those types of people in your life. They always say that even, you know, coaches need coaches, and business people need those mentors. And so if you don't have those people in your life, go find them. Again, they can take so much anxiety and overwhelm off your shoulders.
And one of the tools, I really appreciate what you just shared there, especially about finding coaches, because I firmly believe that the coach needs a coach, and I have a coach myself, and it helps me be a better coach to other people, you know, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because we're always working on our own feelings of overwhelm or fears or things that we're getting stuck on. And I know even my coach has a coach, so it's important.
Yes. I hear my coach in my ear all the time when I know that I'm getting off track or something. She's like, focus, focus, get things done, hustle, hustle. And she's got all these sayings that, you know, I just see her head popping up in my mind and listen to her, what she's telling me.
Maybe all the coaches, we all need like bobbleheads so they sit on the desk.
Oh, that would be funny. Yes. Yeah.
Or wind us up and we say, hustle, hustle.
Or have an on-off switch, because sometimes I just want to turn her off. And
exactly.
Go, you know what? I just want to relax today. I'll do it tomorrow.
Right, right. Well, the other thing that helps me is having an accountability partner. And I had not really thought about that being a connection to helping diffuse overwhelm until you were sharing what you did about breaking things down, because that's one thing that it helps me to do is when we have our twice-a-week call, it forces me to sit down, look at the priorities, break things down, think about, okay, what's going to move me forward the most and what's reasonable to get done. And she serves also in that role of being a reflector, because every once in a while we'll just get together and talk about, so what are your goals for the next quarter or the next month or the next year? And this last time when we did it, I thought this was great of her. She said, you looking outside into my business and knowing me and knowing what I've been working on, what do you see that I could be doing differently or better or, you know, that I've let drop that you think I should pick up or that I'm doing that I should stop? So we traded perspectives about that, and it was hugely valuable.
I think that's wonderful. And the accountability piece of that is so key, because so many times we'll get together at a networking event or a mastermind group or whatever, and you talk about the things that you need to do, and you can even write your to-do list and put your deadlines in there. But then if no one is sort of tapping on your shoulder saying, hey, did you get those things done? It's easy to then go off to the next thing. And So that accountability is huge in staying on track and not getting overwhelmed.
So we've kind of laid the groundwork here with, you know, why it's important to be paying attention to this particular aspect of our business. And so I'm curious if we feel like, you know, we're just getting started here, and if we feel like we're running to stand still, which is something I often feel, and we're ready to get off the treadmill, where do you suggest we start?
First of all, I think we just need to take a moment and breathe. Sometimes you just need to relax and refocus and clear our heads. And I do a lot of life purpose coaching, and that's one of the things that I always remind people is when you, and they don't think they have time to do that. No, I can't stop and breathe. I've got this and this and this to do. But seriously, if you'll take those few minutes, and maybe it's a walk around the block, and maybe it is just closing your eyes and breathing in and breathing all your worries out, you just get refocused again. And you can see things in such a different light. And then I'm going to recommend going through the cut the crap process, looking at your to-do list and determining whether it's something to complete, to refuse, to assign, or to pitch. When I do this in a workshop setting, I actually have people practice saying no. And I've got several different statements that they can make that don't sound threatening, because people are scared to say no. They're afraid that people won't like them or something. And they actually practice that in the workshop in a setting where it's neutral and they can get prepared, so that when someone comes at you with something that just doesn't resonate, you don't want to do it, you don't need to do it, you're prepared to say no. And it's very empowering. And so if you have to practice that in front of the mirror or whatever works for you, so that when you're armed and you're prepared, so when it comes your way, you can say no. I've actually gotten really good at that the last several years. It's like, if it doesn't resonate, it's become very easy for me to just say, I'm sorry, I'm not the right person, or really doesn't fit in with where I'm going right now. I appreciate you thinking about me, but it doesn't fit in with where I'm going. And you can say it in a non-offensive way. And the people that I've trained to do that, they come back to me and they say, oh my gosh, that felt so good. And now I don't have 15 more things on my list to do that I didn't want to do anyway.
Well, it's so interesting that we're talking about this, because I was just witness secondhand to an incident this past week with a friend who's also an introvert, but a very confident and gracious entrepreneur. And she was approached by someone she had met at a networking event who wanted to talk to her about the supplements that she was selling. So she wanted to take her out for coffee. And my friend was sort of deferring. And then when she saw her face to face at this particular event, I thought she had a very appropriate response. She said, you know, I just don't think I'm a candidate for your products. And that person actually did get offended. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and it really shook up my friend, you know, because she felt like I was being as cordial, and I was trying to respect my time and interests and her time. You know, I don't want to waste your time by seeming, you know, adding to both of our to-do lists with something that's not going to go anywhere. So I appreciate what you're saying about, you know, that it is empowering. And, you know, if we've got those ways of saying it, because sometimes that's where we get caught. We don't know how to say no. And I thought her saying, you know, I don't think I'm a very good candidate for your products or for your business was a gracious way of saying that. It's unfortunate the person didn't respond graciously.
Yeah, and that can make us feel bad. But I've had that happen too. I went to a networking group, and it's the type of group where you have to have 7 one-on-ones and invite 7 people. And there's this magic formula to be a member of this group. And so everyone's just trying to meet everyone on the side. And I heard my coach in my ear saying, stop doing those coffee dates, that they're not going to get you anywhere. And so it was actually a coffee salesperson that came up to me afterwards and said, oh, we need to get together. And I said, well, I'll be happy to give you some information that you can take with you about my training classes. I'm not a coffee drinker. And so I don't think that our getting together for a one-on-one is going to be productive for either of us. But give me a brochure about your coffee, because when I do meet coffee drinkers, I'll be happy to pass your information along. But again, it's not something that I want to spend my time doing. Maybe that sounds selfish, but again, it's you have to look at the highest and best use of your time.
And I've noticed that as my business has grown, that I have to be more discerning about that. And there did come this point when it's like, I really like this person and I don't have time to have coffee with them. I might have a year ago for various reasons, but now it's something has shifted. And that was kind of an interesting awareness to have that sometimes it's okay to just say, oh, rather than get together in person, can we have a phone call? Or can we just exchange information? Because part, I think, of us feeling overwhelmed is not just like the tasks that we have to do, is obviously how we're spending our time and energy. And I think that's also really important for introverts to be considering, because it's such a powerful asset that we have.
Absolutely. That's one of the benefits of being an introvert, and my husband doesn't understand this because he's very extroverted, so he wants face-to-face time with everyone. And I use email. He's like, I can't believe you never talk to people face-to-face. I go, yes, I do, but if I can get it done in an email in 2 minutes, I'm good with that. So I have a best friend I haven't talked to on the phone, and I can't even tell you the last time because we email all the time. And he's like, why don't you ever talk to her on the phone? Well, we email. We're both introverted, so it works for us.
Perfectly happy with the written correspondence for now.
And then we get together about once or twice a year. It's perfect for us. He doesn't get it, but it works.
Exactly. And you probably talk each other's ear off at that point.
Yeah. And then we're good for 6 or 8 or 9 months again. We've been friends since junior high. So it's like, we get that, you know?
Right. Right. It's good to have friends like that. So what are the habits that you've noticed of really highly efficient and productive people?
I think first and foremost, I stay focused. And that's something that I've really had to work on myself this year. I have a lot of different skills and interests, and I can easily get sidetracked. And I hear my coach in my ear right now saying, stay away from the bright, shiny object syndrome. You know, we start going down one path and then something else sounds interesting. We go, oh, I could do that too, and I could do this. And so when I first started conceiving the idea for D3 seminars, I literally was waking up in the middle of the night thinking about seminars that I could teach. And I thought of the name for my company. It was D3 Seminars, and I knew the D three stood for discover, design, and do. And I was on this focus track. And then when I actually launched the business, I thought I needed to offer more. I thought I would be more effective if I put together sort of every possible topic that I could talk about. And I've got 20 years of corporate experience. I could combine that. And I'm a life purpose and career coach. And I could do seminars about that. And I'm a wellness consultant. And I could do seminars about that. So I came up with a list of about 20 seminars. And I thought that was going to make me more attractive to people. But then I started going to hear other speakers who talked about finding your niche. And it's like it made sense for everyone else, but I really couldn't get my head wrapped around it. And so in the meantime, I found myself doing a little bit in a whole lot of different areas. And I started getting overwhelmed, and I wasn't getting the traction that I wanted to have. And so finally, the third time I heard a speaker talk about finding your niche and becoming an expert in one area, it clicked and it made sense. If I refocused my efforts and I narrowed down my topics to 8 or 9 seminars, and they're all focused around helping people discover, design, and do their ideal life. And what's really interesting about that is that was what I kept waking up in the middle of the night about in the first place. That was my initial thought. And then, two, I thought that when I narrowed my focus, it was going to limit my options. And just the opposite has happened. People now get it. They understand who I am. And I've been telling them all year who I am. They didn't get it. And they know where I'm going, and they know where my expertise lies. And so they tend to be drawn to that. And more doors have opened up because of it. Now, it does mean that some people won't be drawn to me anymore. And that's okay, because they wouldn't be my ideal client anyway. And so instead of being limiting, it's been really liberating. So that's the first thing, is really staying focused and doing what you're great at and what you're passionate about. And then, I'm borrowing this from Brian Tracy, where he talks about eating that frog. If you've read his book, Eat That Frog. And that frog is the thing that you put off or you dread doing. And so it goes on your to-do list day after day. And even if you take it off your to-do list because you're tired of writing it down, it's still out there and it's still draining your energy because you think about it. And so I think effective people just learn to open their mouth, eat the frog, and get on with their day. And it takes such a load off when you can do that. And I think we already talked about the 80-20 rule. And definitely, if you can just focus in on where can I spend 20% of my time and effort and yield 80% of the results. I think introverts can struggle with that. But it really, really can free up your day and help you become more efficient and more effective.
Great. So staying focused and being and finding your focus and then staying focused on your focus, I would say. Because we can still, I know even though I have my focus, I can still get distracted by the bright, shiny objects sometimes. And eat the frog, which it sounds like I just did. so I'm going to clear my throat.
It's not literal.
It's not literal, I know. and the 80-20 rule. So finding the 20% of what you do that yields 80% of the results and focusing on that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, great. Great advice. And so say we're putting all of that into practice. Mm-hmm. And how can we sustain that? Because even if we're doing those things, we're human beings, and so overwhelm will creep up on us. So what can pull us back and keep us on track so that we can sustain that level?
You know, this really is an everyday process. And I tell people that you're not just going to wave a magic wand and this just happens. Every day you've got to think about this and think about your focus. And it goes back to not completing more. It's work, and it's not about working harder. It's doing the right things to get us the biggest results. The other thing I've learned is if you're just not feeling it, move on to something else. Like, for example, maybe I've got it on my schedule that on Tuesday I'm going to write a new seminar, and I know I need to get it done, and so Tuesday rolls around, and I'm not feeling particularly creative, but it's on my list, and I'm a big list maker, so I've got to get it done on Tuesday. But I sit at my computer kind of hoping the ideas will start to flow, and they don't. So at that point, I've got either two options. I can keep sitting there and hoping that the creative burst happens, or I can determine what I can do that day to be more productive. And maybe that's a better day to follow up on emails or phone calls and not trying to make something happen that's just not going to happen that day. So, you know, one of the great things that we have about being entrepreneurs is that hopefully we've designed our lives to where we have the ability to rearrange schedules to best fit our needs. So what I've learned, this is so weird because I tend to stay up late, but then I am a heavy, heavy sleeper. I love to sleep. And sometimes God has a different plan for me because most of my newsletters have been written between 3 and 5 in the morning. And I will literally just wake up in the middle of the night and I go, oh, I've got it. And maybe I've been agonizing for 3 or 4 weeks because it's been a while since I sent a newsletter. And I go, oh, you know, I haven't talked to people in a while. And they're going to wonder if I'm still in business and what's going on. I've got to come up with a newsletter. And when I do that, I can't come up with anything. But then in the middle of the night, or it also happens in the shower, it just comes to me. It comes to me when it needs to come to me. And then it's usually... It's inspiring, and that's when I get response. When I just send a newsletter out because I felt like it was time to communicate with people, I don't get very much response. And so I never did want to be the type of person that just sent an email every Tuesday because the calendar said it was Tuesday. But that's what really resonates with people is when I do it at the right time, at the right moment, and it's the right message for people.
And so I'm hearing kind of an underlying theme of don't fight it, and don't fight it as in don't fight it if it's not coming to you, and don't fight it if it is coming to you, and it might even be an inconvenient time like 3 a.m.
Exactly. As much as I love to sleep, I get up and I go in the other room and I turn the computer on, and my husband's like, what are you doing? Got a newsletter. Got to go write it. And the funny thing is it only takes me 5 or 10 minutes to write the whole thing at that point because it literally just all of a sudden comes together. Yeah, you've got to kind of listen to your body, listen to your mind. And again, as entrepreneurs, it's not like we're in an 8-to-5 job where someone else is telling us what we need to do and when we need to do it. And so use that flexibility and listen to your mind and listen to your body and do what it takes to be the most effective.
And sometimes for me, I'm a sleeper too. And sometimes for me, that means taking a quick nap. And I've gotten used to enjoying that and not feeling guilty about it because it does make me more productive. It does diffuse some of that overwhelm sometimes.
I love my naps. I'm so glad you said that. I'm not the only one that takes a nap at 2 in the afternoon sometimes.
Oh no, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, that's nap time.
Absolutely. And again, if that's where you need to be at that time, that's where you need to be at that time. And if you can take 15, 20 minutes, an hour to do that, but then you get 15 times more done the next hour, isn't that great? And like I said, you may think that you don't have time, but the few minutes that you take to recharge can just add so much time to your productivity.
So what advice do you find yourself giving over and over again that if we just got it, that everything would change?
I think the business owners that I've worked with the most all have the same issue, and that's really learning how to say no. They need to stop thinking about what they could do, because we all have lots of great skills, and they need to focus on what they should do. Particularly with the women that I work with, they're having a hard time putting themselves before others, and they get so focused on what everyone else wants them to do and trying to please them that they end up neglecting themselves. So they get frustrated, they get burned out, and they don't know which direction to head. And I always think about, I used to fly all over the country, and so I always think about when you're going through the safety precautions on the airplane, and they tell you if you're traveling with an elderly person or a child to put your oxygen mask on first. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of other people, and you can't be your best. So learn to say no, and learn to, and I know this sounds selfish to a lot of people, but learn to take care of yourself first, and everything else will fall into place. You'll have the energy, and you'll have the health and the vibrancy to get the things done that you need to do and to take care of other people.
Yeah, and I think that message is particularly important for introverts, because the things that help us take care of ourselves are not always things that are honored or valued in terms of solitude or quiet.
Yes, and again, that's where my husband and I are so different, because he really loves a day where he gets to go out and meet clients, and he works at a family entertainment environment, so it's loud and it's boisterous and all that. It's great for him. And I remember earlier this year in Fort Worth, we had like 12 inches of snow, which never happens here. And usually when it does, it'll melt an hour or two later, but this lasted for 4 days. And so the first day he was able to stay home with me, because we just couldn't get our cars out. And I was perfectly fine. My laptop is sitting here. I'm curled up in my jammies and my blanket. And the second day he was going stir crazy. So he ventured out in the ice and snow. And, you know, pretty much for 4 days, I didn't get out of the house, and I loved it. And he could not understand that at all. He's like, I can't believe you haven't left this house. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so recharged. Like, when the snow melts, I'm ready to go. But it was just a relaxing time for me. So
sounds like a nice retreat in a way. There's something cozy about not being able to go anywhere.
As long as I've got my laptop, the fire was in the fireplace, I'm cuddled in a blanket, I'm still getting work done. It was amazing.
Well, I've appreciated everything you've shared. Anything that we've not touched on that you feel like you want to add or make sure that listeners really take away that feels important?
One of the letters we haven't talked a whole lot about is the P in Cut the Crap, and it's pitching it. And I always urge people, and again, this takes time away from what you think you need to get done today, but take an hour or 2 hours or half a day and go through your office, your car, if you work out of your car, and go through things and throw them away. Because most people, you know, we have good intentions, we're going to get something done, or we go through the mail, and instead of throwing it away, we stack it up because we'll look at it later. Throw those things away. And I'm guilty right now. I've got a couple of stacks on the bedroom floor of things that I need to go through. So take some time and just throw that stuff away. Again, it's liberating, and it can clear your mind. There are days that I literally can't get work done until I straighten up my office, because everything is just in disarray, and it's just a clutter, and that's mirrored in my thoughts. And so I just take the time to throw it away, pitch it, and then go on.
That's inspiring me. I'm glad of course, people listening, they're listening on different days, but for us, we're talking on a Friday, and makes me glad there's a weekend coming up, because then I might have some time and energy to pitch.
Exactly. Yes. And then Monday, you'll feel so revitalized.
So I like to wrap up all of my podcast conversations with the same question. And that is, if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island, and you could only take 3 books, and that's 3 real books, not a Kindle or an iPad, with you, which 3 would you take with you and why?
Okay, first and foremost, I'm taking the Bible. That's just a given. It's an absolute blueprint for our life and contains everything we need. If you're looking for murder or mystery or inspiration, it's all in there. It probably would take me a year to get through the whole thing. Second, I would take a book called How Starbucks Saved My Life by Michael Gates Gill. I saw it on the shelf at the bookstore, and it caught my attention because I love Starbucks. I love their coffee, and I love their culture. And it's really inspirational because it hits home with my philosophy about having a simple life rather than placing value on material things. And I won't get into a ton of detail about the book, but it was about a guy who grew up in a very affluent lifestyle and poured his life into his work and was very successful. And later in life, he found himself divorced. He lost his house. His children didn't know him, and he had a brain tumor. And he stumbled into Starbucks one day, and before he knew what was coming out of his mouth, he took a job at Starbucks. And, you know, he's cleaning toilets, and he's mopping the floors, and he's serving people. And it totally changed his life around. He had a very inspirational manager, and he learned how doing the smallest things in life and helping other people meant so much more than everything he had in his life prior to that. It's an amazing book. And then I had trouble thinking of the third one because I love cookbooks. But if I'm on an island by myself for a year, I want to cook.
So right. We haven't decided if there's a fully equipped kitchen.
Yeah. If you give me a kitchen, I'm taking a cookbook. But assuming there's no kitchen, sometimes I just like to veg out with a good chick lit book. You know, one of those beach type books that take no effort to read. And so I'm going to go with Something Borrowed by Emily Giffen. I love the book because it had a lot of twists and turns and things that you didn't really think about. And then her second book, which was Something Blue, is the entire story, again, told from another person's perspective. So I would buy those together, like shrink wrap them together so I could count it as just one book. So I would take the Bible, I would take How Starbucks Saved My Life, and I would take Something Borrowed.
Well, thank you for sharing those books with us. I always love hearing what people would take because I always discover new and wonderful things to read. And I hope everyone else does too because I think as introverts, we're kind of readers.
Absolutely. So. Always have been.
Always have been, always will be. So Pam, tell us how people can learn more about you and what you have to offer in your D3 seminars.
Well, I in particular work with people to help them discover, design, and do their ideal life. And so you can sign up for my newsletter and those things that I write at 3 o'clock in the morning. If you go to my website, which is d3seminars.com, or I'm on Facebook and YouTube at D3 Seminars. And I do a lot of training classes here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So if you're in this area, you can look at my website and get a schedule, and I'd love to see you come to some classes. And a lot of times I go on site with companies and do training with their employees. And then for people that aren't in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I do remote coaching on the phone, but I'm also trying to put together some webinars and some products so that I can reach out to people who are not in the immediate area. I will travel some, but I've been traveling for 12 years. So the goal with setting up my own company is getting to stay home, which I love. So I'll travel for the right opportunity, but...
Well, fortunately, with the internet and everything we have at our disposal, it makes our reach so far without necessarily having to get out of our pajamas. So it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. I can do a training class with my fire in the fireplace and curled up in a blanket with hot chocolate. That's great. And then in 2012, I'm setting up a couple of really exciting retreats. One of them is going to be a women's meet-treat. And so we're going to spend the weekend together helping you discover, design, and do your ideal life. And we'll do a pampering party, and then we're also going to set up a wellness weekend where we're going to spend the weekend together learning how to eat healthy and manage stress and do some cooking classes. And so those are coming in 2012, and I'll put all that on my website, but those are going to be really awesome. And if you're not in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're worth coming to. So more information will come out on that.
So D3, it's the number 3, right?
Yes, it's the letter D, the number 3, and then seminars.com.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a delightful conversation. I've picked up a lot of tips and inspiration. I'm sure everybody listening has as well. And it's been great talking with you.
I really appreciate you having me on the show. And just keep that in mind every day. Cut the crap, complete it, refuse it, assign it, or pitch it, and learn how to get more done. Your life will be so much simpler that way.
This conversation left me with lots to think about, and I hope you came away with some tips on how to manage the work in your life more effectively. After listening to this podcast is a great time to take what you've learned here and apply it to your own projects and life. So, a few questions for you. What can you complete that would fill you with satisfaction or lift a weight off of your shoulders? What do you need to refuse or say no to? Are there tasks that you can assign to someone else? And what's been cluttering up your physical and mental real estate that you need to pitch? As for the big picture, take time each morning to ask yourself, what's the highest and best use of my time today? And then plan your priorities accordingly.
Thank you so much for listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. You can learn more about my coaching, speaking, and seminar services at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. If there's any way I can support you in your journey, I would love to hear from you. Have a wonderful and productive week, and I look forward to seeing you next time.